Welcome to the Business of Sales. You're here because you want to improve your results in your business, right? Well, that's exactly you with this podcast. We give you practical ideas to help you, and we have guests on the show who are going to share their expertise, and that's going to help you get what you want. Hey, here's a clip from today's show.
Your customer is a very sophisticated individual now. So the traditional push marketing of the 50s and 60s is not going to work. You have to get into authentic communications with an understanding that your customer probably knows a lot more about what you are up to than they did 50 years ago.
Kieran Therakin is our guest today on the Business of Sales, and we're really excited about having him here. Kieran is the founder and managing director of Strategy Peak, a marketing company that does some really neat things. And I'm just really excited to have Kieran here because he's also the author of a best-selling book from Amazon, Seven Essential Stories That Charismatic Leaders Tell. And folks, each and every one of us are leaders. We are all leaders in what we do and the way we go about doing it. So Kieran, thank you so much for joining us today on the Business of Sales.
Morris, thanks for having me on your show.
We're glad to have you, buddy. So talk to me about marketing in today's world. I mean, we're post-pandemic almost, I guess.
I think the biggest change in the last 50, 60 years has been about marketing getting back to what it is supposed to have always been. If you went back to the origins of marketing, we've always marketed as humans, you know, for the last modern humans, 200,000, 250,000 years, you know, marketing is about communication. But marketing as a science, 120, 150 years ago, it was about creating the right product for the right market with the right features, with the right benefits, with the right. And all those rights ultimately get into strategy. So marketing has always been about strategy. In the last 40, 50 years, that's been dumbed down to the Don Draper style of understanding, which is all about advertising and communication and such. But ultimately, marketing was about strategy. The core component of strategy is a deep understanding of your customer. And so if anything, with the advent of the internet back in 1969 to the World Wide Web, where information is available to anybody and everybody at the push of a button, your customer is a very sophisticated individual now. So the traditional push marketing of the 50s and 60s is not going to work. You have to get into authentic communications with an understanding that your customer probably knows a lot more about what you are up to than they did 50 years ago, right? So you have to treat them as very, very intelligent and fully understood people, right? Intelligent, and they fully understand the situation they're getting into, or at least they think they do.
In this age of relevance, where we got to be relevant to that very educated customer, that educated prospect, man, I think that's absolutely true. We've got to treat them as though they are educated and they know more about what's going on than we thought they did back when I first started sales.
Yeah, absolutely. Or at least they think they do. You know, I run into very few clients these days, regardless of the companies I own or the ones I consult for, that are uninformed. They typically have a very clear understanding of what they want to get out of the situation and what their competitive alternatives are. And so now it's up to you to prove yourself as an authentic voice for the customer. It's not even for your product. You know, it's not for your company. It's a voice for the customer. You have to ally with that client in order to get them to where they want to go. Out of pain, into gain.
So you're really more of a consultant and a consultant. That's a good word. More of a consultant than you are pushing anything, any way, shape, form, or fashion. That is, if you want to be successful, right?
It's a consultative approach. In fact, I'm working with the client right now. I'm creating their marketing strategy. It's all about insight selling. And the insight sales process obviously encompasses marketing to begin with, to set the stage for it, to understand what the client's deep pain is, their desire for gain, all that kind of stuff. But it is ultimately about nailing down that specific set of insights that are situational specific to that client.
Hey, today I've got a secret to share with you, okay? We're not telling anybody except the great people who listen to the Business of Sales. So you ready? Here we go. We are building a communication system to share brief, one page or less, emails with ideas, concepts, knowledge, and skills that you can use to improve your financial services business. Help it to grow, help you just to improve your results. All those kind of things are what we're going to be sharing. Okay, now somebody out there just said, okay, Morris, like what? What are we really talking about? Well, when you register, you're going to get a free audio program on marketing. 22 minutes that you can listen to on your commute or while you work out or obviously any convenient time for you. So to get your marketing audio program and register for more, go to getcourse.cc/marketing. That's getcourse, getcourse.cc/marketing. Won't you please join us? I think you're going to find a lot of what we share to be useful in your business. You're getting an advanced heads up here, folks. I mean, this is before anybody else in the world. We're not going to share this until, golly, probably sometime later in July. So please take advantage of your advanced notice. Your first email is going to come sometime later in the week of July. And if you decide, of course, at any time that you'd like to not hear from us, all you got to do is click unsubscribe and we're going to get out of your inbox right away. So, hey, thanks for listening to the Business of Sales. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
So even though, you know, like we can talk about insurance or financial services, it's like, but those are all umbrella topics. But when it comes down to that 23-year-old new father, you know, with that newborn, and you want to protect him, well, there's a range of things that he can afford, and there's a range of things that you can provide. What is specific to them is only going to come about with a deep understanding of that particular individual's position and what they want to achieve in the pain-gain motive.
That makes great sense to me, but how do we go about communicating that to the client, to the customer, to that person that we're trying to have that conversation with, Kieran?
Well, the communication part, to me, is actually a listening at the beginning. In fact, you know, if there was a 1 hour meeting, if there was a 1 hour meeting, you know, and hopefully relationships don't take place just over an hour, it is an ongoing thing. But if it was an hour meeting, who was it? Abraham Lincoln said it best, you know, if he had an hour to chop down a tree, he would spend 55 minutes of it sharpening the saw. And then he would, you know, or the axe or whatever it was he said. And so it's about having a deep understanding of how the client, how your prospect sees themselves in the situation. And it's only after you can repeat back to them their story as good as they repeated it to you, you know, where you can demonstrate that empathy and that understanding to them better than they could say it to you, that you can actually have that set of understandings and resources that you can bring to bear to solve their situation, right? Because you can't just spray and pray anymore. This is just well past that. Especially if you have, you know, a sophisticated product like financial services. The last thing you want to do is sell something to somebody that they are going to be defaulting on in 3 months' time, 6 months' time, or realizing this wasn't the right thing for them. So that deep understanding, that deep empathy is the starting point of that deep relationship.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And I have got to remember spray and pray. That's beautiful. Talk to us about stories. I know that's important to you and you use it a lot in what you talk about. Tell us about stories. You mentioned knowing the client's story. How do we best use those stories?
The ultimate thing is, so I wrote a book last year. It's called The 7 Essential Stories Charismatic Leaders Tell. And what I say to people is that the very first thing that a company, a salesperson sells has to be the very first thing that the customer wants to buy. Now, that sounds trite to say, but it's amazing to me how many salespeople, especially beginners, will quickly skip over this. And I'll use your phrase again, you know, that you like so much, spray and pray. And the very first thing that somebody buys from you is your story. And it's not the story of you being, hey, look at me. Look how great I am. What What a suite of products. Look at this amazing stuff. No, that's not the story you want to tell. You want to tell the story of your customer as hero. Now, your customer as hero. Now, in the typicals, there's all sorts of different storytelling formats. The one I like to use is one of the most dead simple, is the Pixar format. And the Pixar format is like this. Everything was fine. Everything was good. Then something happened. Then I had to go on a quest. And there's a whole bunch of muddles and things that happened that tried to, you know, put my quest awry. But I eventually solved my quest, and then I found Nemo. And everybody was happy thereafter. And that's the typical Pixar model. Well, in that, you know, that's your customer as well. And the customer in this case is something is going on in their lives right now. Sometimes it is an active pain that they're trying to solve. And that is, they know what the problem is, and they are now actively looking for a solution. So I know I need life insurance, so therefore I'm going to go out and buy some life insurance. The other times, it can be a latent pain. And the latent pain is, you know I need to save for retirement. I just don't know how to go about doing it. And so now the advisor has to come by with a whole bunch of different ideas on how that might be solved. It could be annuities. It could be, you know, 401ks. It could be all sorts of different things. But the story part of it is this is a 23-year-old new father. They have limited resources in all likelihood. These are the ways we've helped other new fathers of a similar age get to a retirement security. You know, and that's the kind of stories you want to tell. And when you tell the story of your customer as hero, they see themselves in that story, and the products that you sell become the tools to fulfill the promise in the story. So, you know, unless they buy the story, there's no need for you to tell them about your products and services because it's not functionally relevant. It is not emotionally significant.
That is so important and so different from what we were taught many years ago, that you've got to walk in there and you've got to sell yourself, and then you've got to sell your company, and then you can sell your product. It's much more about building that relationship, isn't it?
It's about building the relationship. But before you can build a relationship, there's several components to it. And the biggest component to me is relationships are based on empathy. You know, it's based on empathy. From empathy, you can get into trust. Of course, there's all this liking, rapport, familiarity. There's a variety of things in there. But if you think of your best friends, your deepest relationships, those people understand you the best, or at least you think they understand you the best. You know, and you in turn know what to expect of them. You know what jokes they'll find funny, what things will insult them. You know, but you have that mutual understanding of each other because it is a relationship based on history and, most importantly, empathy, which leads to trust, familiarity, liking, and rapport.
Gary, you're giving me so much good stuff. I can't get back to talk to you because I'm taking notes.
I figured you were taking notes. It sounded like a lot of pen scratching there. So that's good. I like that.
Oh, man, this is good stuff. Thank you. So in the sales process today, we got to start with the customer story. When should we start telling our story?
Well, your story is quite irrelevant until they understand that you understand their story. So that's the empathy part of it. So I own a digital marketing company here in Canada. I have a couple of partners there. It's a company called Socialite Communications. So we help Shopify merchants market better. And we just put up an online university to teach people how to do this in an 8-week program. Now, the thing that we did to create a funnel of very interested, highly engaged prospects is we tested a whole bunch of different story ideas. And the very first part of that story idea is the big idea, from which comes a series of key messages, from which comes a set of strategic narratives. Now, the big idea, unless people buy into that big idea about getting out of pain, get to gain, they won't get into the key messages. They don't have any desire to hear your story. So we test the big ideas. What we did in order to create this funnel, it's an online marketing funnel, we tested 204 ad variations of what works best for that big idea. So it's different, different headlines, subheads, different images, different story angles for that big idea. And from those 204 ad set variations, we will come down to seven or eight killer ads. Now, what makes an ad killer? What makes an ad killer is that it resonates with the deep, big idea to help that client get out of pain and get to gain. And it's only once they bought into that, but with that click through, that you get them into that funnel, that landing page, and you can start telling the story. And once they start telling the story, you know, and we do it through a video there, there's a whole bunch of copy on those landing pages, and eventually you'll talk to one of our consultants. But they self-filter their way through it. They self-qualify. And they're, each time they go through each of those stages, they cross another hoop. They cross another bridge. And what they're saying at each point is, I have deeper interest. I have deeper interest. I have a lot of interest. And it's only at that point in time that they have any need to talk to our one to one of our people in person. So ultimately, we have like 3, 4, 5 instances of being able to demonstrate that we've seen your situation before. We can help.
I like that. We've seen your situation before. We've helped other people just like you to get out of this pain and get the gain, and we can help you too.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct, right? So, but, here's a good example right now. So you are in the business of podcasting right now. That's a podcast, at least this particular portion of your business for us, right? So you're doing a podcast.
Right.
So here's what I absolutely know about you and your podcast. The absolute last thing you want on this show is a boring guest. That's yeah. The last thing you want. You know, and the ultimate thing you want is somebody that engages the audience, that is able to tell a fresh perspective, that gives you stories, and that creates an emotional experience beyond the physical information that's given. So you got to combine all those things, and ultimately, when you combine these things, you create entertainment. That's what I know about you, and you and I have never met before, right? We've exchanged emails and such. But I know that because you're a podcaster, okay? And I know, and you've told me who your audience is and such. And unless I can deliver that kind of information to your audience, and I can show you beforehand that I have experience with this kind of audience and topic and such, there's no need for you to invite me onto your show, because it is not. I haven't proven yet that I'm functionally relevant and emotionally significant to what you really desire. But if I can do that, and the way we've done that is through a series of, you know, online exchanges, you've seen my profile, we've communicated a little. Now you have that confidence to actually let me in front of your podcast audience. But until that time, there was no need to do that.
What a great example. Hey, Kerrion, tell me more about, if I look at this, instead of just from the sales standpoint, if I look at this as the fact that I'm a business owner, I work in sales, but I own a business. Where do I take this idea of stories into that? You mentioned strategy. How do we get to that point of strategy? The how am I going to get my company to generate gross income? How I think strategy answers the question how. So how do I get to that strategy point?
Well, strategy is ultimately about competitive advantage. How do you create competitive advantage? And you, the core competitive advantage is that you are able to provide a relatively strong value proposition. And when I say relatively strong, it's a relative advantage, is that, you know, you might still be selling bread, you know, in two different bodegas along New York's busy New York street, right? But one of them, you know, is going to have a different competitive advantage. Maybe it's the people. Maybe it's the kind of bread that they sell. Maybe it's the location specifically on the street. It could be a lot of different things, right? So you have to have that relative competitive advantage to your customers. You both sell bread. So what is it that is going to attract that customer beyond the bread itself? So that's the very first thing. What is that competitive advantage? And once you put that, nail down what that competitive advantage is, and it is truly functionally relevant, emotionally significant to your client, then what we have to do is put that into a business model that works. And we don't want to bore everybody with what a business model is, but if you want to quickly go to the web, just type in the word business model canvas into Google. It's a whole series of books by Alex Osterwalder, dead simple, but that's how you create value through the competitive advantage that you offer. And then the ultimate thing now is you've got a machine ready to create that value for your target customer. How do you create a funnel of prospects for that product now? And the way you do that is you start with that functionally relevant story. And so you have functionally relevant story, emotionally significant story, get out of pain, get to gain, try the ad variations, try the different story types, and then you will figure out what the resonant stories are, and then you have a machine. Then you have a machine to feed the machine. You know, so you have that marketing machine that creates the whole plethora of interested customers, desirable customers for the value that you create through your business model.
That's probably the best, simplest, most direct, straightforward answer to that question I've ever heard. Tell me more about being a business owner. You've owned several businesses. How do you think business owners in today's world can do a better job of what they do in running their business? How can we get, what do we need to get better at?
I guess it depends what we're talking about. Are we talking about, you know, getting better at delivering value? Are we talking better about getting better at delivering profit to our shareholders, being a better culture for our people? You know, there's a lot of different places to go. But ultimately, each of those three examples that I gave you are about different audiences. Yeah, and there's multiple audiences, stakeholders for your business. But those are three. And we have to treat each of those audiences as different. They have different needs for the stories they are told. You know, so the culture story that you tell your people is going to be related, but completely different from the stories you tell for who you tell the customers of your business, right? And then the shareholders of your business. Now, they're all related because, you know, they have a stake in the business itself. But the stories that come out of each of these perspectives for those stakeholders is going to be different. So why you should work here and you're a desirable employee, you're going to create lots of value for us. Well, here's how we're going to create value for you through our culture. And you're a client of our products. This is how we're going to create value for you in the new products and new services you can buy. So take a look at Apple's products from 20 years ago, you know, cutting edge at the time, but laughable today, you know, in their simplicity. So they've had to keep up their game year after year after year and keep pushing that envelope. And the products today, you know, probably were looking like science fiction 20, 30 years ago. So we keep pushing these envelopes. And what a stakeholder in the way of a shareholder looks to a company today is very different. You know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, it may have been just profit. Today's shareholders really want to see things like corporate social responsibility, green policies, a triple bottom lines, and all these kind of things. It's gone beyond money. It's about things like the morality of the business itself and its ability to create a better world. So related stories, but different stories. Know the audience that you're trying to speak to.
Tell me, Kieran, as you're running your business, how do you keep yourself organized? I mean, you got a lot of irons in the fire, brother. How do you keep yourself organized and make sure you're doing the most important stuff?
Well, the main thing is make sure that you have great people. So I never run these businesses on my own. I always have partners in the businesses. And in fact, the partners in the digital marketing agency, they started the company. I joined them. And, you know, the partners in my outbound sales company, they started the company. I joined them. And so I only do what I'm great at. And I don't put my nose in anything else other than at a board level where we're reviewing everything, right? But the operational parts of the business, I have my operational agenda. They have their operational agenda, and then we'll bring it together on a strategic basis at the board level. But stick to the knitting that you know best. And there's a lot of things I'm not great at and I want nothing to do with. And trust me, you don't want me doing it either.
So how do you remain organized on a daily basis? I'm talking about your personal organization, my friend. How do you do that? How do you stick to your knitting?
There's nothing, you know, I find myself, depending on how many things are on my plate, sometimes you need to be reminded. Some of the best reminders, of course, are your Outlook calendar, We use Slack quite a bit. We use a regular cadence meetings. So with our digital marketing company, we've gotten into a solid cadence. So there's a regular 8 a.m. meeting for the sales team. There's a regular 5 p.m. end of day meeting for the sales team. There are three meetings along the way for the business and for the actual Merchant Mastery site itself. You know, so the solid cadence where you are bringing people together and there better be something relevant to say. It can't be, hey, how are you? Let's have a drink. You know, no, it's got to be, this is what you were accountable for. What do you need help with? How do you move this forward? Let's go to the next set of stages and steps in the process.
And I would think that cadence needs to be there, even if my business is me and a virtual assistant, there still needs to be that cadence there, even in my own mind for my own business, isn't there?
There's so many distractions out there, you know, that unless you have that cadence, unless you're accountable to other people, it is so easy to get distracted. I read a great story about some authors that have a little group. There's about six or seven in the group, and they get up at 5 a.m. and they will write until 9 a.m. And it's a discipline. And they, you know, it's a discipline. So they will write for 4 hours. And what they do is they get the other four people on a Zoom call. There's no conversations going on, but they can see each other writing away. And so now it's an accountability online so that the discipline takes place so the cadence can be met.
How neat is that? I mean, it's not you didn't do what you said you were going to do. It's more of, hey, we're all going to do this. Are you doing your part? Because I'm doing mine. I like that.
Yeah. So it's sort of like a digital coffee shop. You know, everybody gets together. You can see everybody working.
Oh, that's really neat. That is so, so cool. Kieran, you've given us some great things to think about. Hey, buddy, if we wanted to talk to you or to get involved with your company and talk about our strategy and our marketing, how would we do that?
So, Morrissey, you can come to my website, strategypeak.com. So strategy, and then as in Mountain Peak, all one word, .com. If you go to the right-hand column there, you can download a couple of chapters of my book, The 7 Essential Stories Charismatic Leaders Tell. That's probably the first way to do it. But I've got something for your audience. For the very first 5 people that say they heard about me and my book on your show, Morris, I'm going to send them a free Kindle copy of my book. All they have to do is email me and specify that they heard me on the Business of Sales podcast.
Oh, Kieran, thank you so much. That's wonderful. I hope you get 10 or 15. That'd be fantastic, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate that free gift. Kieran, thank you for being with us here today. Thanks for all your great input and your ideas. You're going to help a lot of people, my friend. Thanks very much for being here.
Terrific. Thanks for having me on, Morris.
And for everybody else out there, you guys go out and have a great week. Enjoy your time. I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on the Business of Sales.